This little piggy went to market.
This little piggy stayed home. This little piggy went to Vegas for a taste of filet mignon. Those little pigs of Vegas lead us to ask, what should we do with our leftovers?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 687th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Kona who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
I wish I was in Kona.
Me too. Special shout-out to producer Carol Stafford, who has moved on to greener pastures of her own radio show. So a big thank you to Carol for joining us for so long here on the Food Chain. Well, folks, before the exploitation of inexpensive hydrocarbons and the development of synthetic fertilizers from those hydrocarbons, we tended to value organic wastes as precious resources, and we recycled them. To understand how valuable organic wastes were, consider this observation made by F.H. King in his landmark book, Farmers of 40 Centuries. The international concession of the city of Shanghai in 1908 sold to a Chinese contractor the privilege of entering residences and public places early in the morning of each day of the year and removing the night soil, receiving therefore more than $31,000 in gold for 78,000 tons of waste. Now, folks, that $31,000 in 1908 means that in today's dollars, someone paid $731,000 to the city of Shanghai for the privilege of collecting its human manure. Now, cut away to today. Why, what do we do with our organic wastes, including the incredibly expensive leftovers from our dinner table? Why, we hold our nose and toss them into the trash, right? Now, there are few places on Earth that have more leftovers from the dinner table than the casinos of Las Vegas, Nevada. But rather than thoughtlessly throwing away those leftovers in the dump, the leftovers are sent to Bob Combs of RC Farms, who recycles them into pink gold. The example set by Farmer Combs leads us to ask, what should we do with our leftovers? And who better to ask than the chief detrivor himself, Bob Combs of RC Farms in Las Vegas, Nevada. Bob, welcome to the Food Chain.
Glad to be here. Pleased to be here.
Glad to have you aboard. And a big thanks to your wife, Janet, for helping pull the show together today. She'd make a good radio producer. Tell her that.
Well, I'll be sure and tell her that. She's always a great help. That's why I'm here.
Okay, good for you. And a big happy birthday to you. You're 70 now?
71. Yes.
And an active farmer in Las Vegas.
Yeah, in fact, I celebrated Father's Day the next day after my birthday. It was Father's Day, and I went out and made a route, and I brought in over 20 tons of food scraps out of Las Vegas that morning by myself.
All by yourself. Well, for the people who don't know what RC Farms is, tell us a little bit about your farm there.
Well, RC Farms is a family-owned farm that I was fortunate enough to have Mom and Dad mortgage their home to bring in the down payment because I was right out of college, and so they got me started.
Wait a minute. What did you study in college, Bob?
I went to Cal Poly, studied crop farming, which is vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
But I was raised on a hog farm, scrap feeding hog farm in San Diego.
Okay, good. So you were raised on a hog farm in San Diego?
Yes.
Okay, so you knew all about hogs then, didn't you?
Yes, Dad, literally a guy used to walk through the pens and always marveled at the pigtails, all the pigtails they had, because Mom used to make pigtails and sauerkraut, and I enjoyed that dish at an early age. So I learned to love hogs early on all my life, and even they were instrumental in me getting over here in Las Vegas.
Okay, well, Now, a hog farm in Las Vegas is a little bit, it seems to be out of place. I mean, hog farms are back in Iowa where they raise a lot of grain, right? But you have a hog farm in Las Vegas. How did you matriculate to Las Vegas?
Okay, I guess that means how did I get there.
Yeah.
Anyway, my dad was celebrating his 70th birthday, and I came over on his along in the ride, and he noticed all the food scraps that was being generated here in this desert community with little to no agriculture in the surrounding area. So it was a desert island, and yet lots of food was being brought here by truckloads from and generated from the hotels of food scraps. And those were a problem to him here. And he recognized the value of the food scraps from San Diego, where he used to pay for the military food scraps from the base. And so he recognized his intelligence.
So your father in San Diego County was accepting food scraps from the military bases and recycling those scraps through his pigs.
Exactly. He also had a contract with Chula Vista, a little community there, and municipal areas. He'd pick up door-to-door household scraps. They had an individual wet garbage can.
Oh, he actually went door-to-door and collected garbage?
Yes, I did do that when I was a teenager. And then he would also get the contract if he was successful in the bidding procedure to get it from a military basis.
Mm-hmm. So when he went to celebrate his birthday in Las Vegas, as so many of us do, instead of falling in love with the slot machines and the shows, he looked at all of the garbage being generated and thought, wow, there's opportunity here, right?
Exactly, yeah. And even as young as I was just first going over at 10 years old in Vegas as riding in the car with him. But he brought my attention to it, too. And then as I grow older, I find out that they were paying for that stuff in Las Vegas. In San Diego. And over here in Vegas, they were throwing it in the trash boxes.
So your dad was actually paying for it, like the farmer in F.H. King's Farmer of 40 Centuries. He was actually paying to buy this garbage, right?
Oh, you bet there was competition for it back there. Mm-hmm. There was several pig farms around San Diego area. Some of them had large operations, anywhere from, 30, 40 head to clear up to 6,000.
Mm-hmm. So,
and in fact, California, excuse me interrupting you there, Michael.
Sure, go ahead.
But California at that time produced more swine from food scraps than they have been today.
Wow.
With the commercial feeding going on. And in fact, much of the food scraps are being buried nowadays.
Well, that's what we're here to talk about. We're taking the most valuable food in the world. The scraps from our dinner table are immensely expensive materials, and we're burying it in the landfills, municipal landfills. And yet, not everybody is doing that. In Las Vegas, they found a way of taking care of that municipal scrap. So what you do at RC Farms then is that you have a route and you go from casino to casino and you collect their food scraps and recycle them through your hogs into pink gold.
Yes, that's exactly what we do. We do it every 24 hours, pick up from the hotels, various sizes depending. As the operations are bigger, we have to have more containers, but they still get every 24 hours to pick up. We do pick up small places also if they're in the route. And we recycle right now. But on the average, when we're up full capacity on inventory, we'll be recycling 1,000 tons of food scraps a month.
1,000 tons of food scraps every month?
Yeah. That would include milk, return milk to the dairies from the stores that go out of date, over date.
Right, right. So everything, instead of going to the dump, now goes to RC Farms in Las Vegas, Nevada. Well, there's a lot about this story that's very fascinating, not the least of which is the fact that there's a pig farm in Las Vegas. And And it's a farm that takes care of all of the scraps from the casinos. And what an interesting place to find yourself. Now, how did you, your family, become so fascinated with the whole notion of recycling? You talked about your mother being a Kentucky hillbilly and how that had an influence on your life.
Yes, I lovingly refer to that, to Mom as a hillbilly. Out of Kentucky, the truth, she lived through the Depression at a younger age. But, yes, she knows the hard times and appreciates food. And that's, I've also learned as I got older, the appreciation of it, realizing that my name, Robert Combs, really starts R.C., and so I go by the name, they call me short R.C., and I found, I believe that the Lord gave me that title name because R.C., I figure, it stands for Resource Conservation.
Resource Conservation Combs. Folks, this is the Food Chain right back. Do stay tuned. Pig farms in Vegas right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking with Robert Combs, R.C. Combs, Resource Conservation Combs from R.C. Farms in Las Vegas, Nevada. Robert has one of the great farms in Las Vegas. How many farms do you know that there are in Las Vegas, Robert? Are there more than yours?
Well, we're the greatest because we're the only one.
You're the only one.
That is, you know, livestock.
Mm-hmm.
Commercial livestock right there. There's an orchard or two. One of the oldest farms is the orchard.
Uh-huh.
In Gilcrease, fruit orchard and vegetables.
Well,
and he's taken all my, excuse me for interrupting, he's taken all of our manure. Takes our manure.
Uh-huh.
He's agreed to take it as long as we deliver it, prepare it over to his farm, and they're plowing it into the ground.
Wow. So everything's getting used here, right?
We make an effort at trying to be a complete circle of recycling, you know.
Well, Robert, you've been doing this for a long time, but the rest of us certainly haven't. Where did we get lost in this modern times culture of ours, you know, that we just forgot about the importance of and how valuable these materials are, and we just started throwing them in the garbage can? Where did we get lost?
Well, I would have to answer that by saying my answer would be that we pay a heck of a price. We're willing to pay a heck of a price, end up paying a big price for convenience.
Mm-hmm.
We take the easier route. Where people are like water. In other words, we flow to the least resistance.
Ah. Yeah.
It's
the easiest thing for us to do is just to throw it in the garbage and not think about it.
Yeah, just toss it away, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And there goes, that's where we're throwing away the resource, food, which is so vital for people.
Yeah.
And if they go to our website, Mike, they can see what we have to say on that, on the farm, about food.
That's RC Farms in Las Vegas, Nevada. You Google that, and you'll certainly find it. Let me ask you this, Bob. Which came first, the farm or Las Vegas?
Well, of course, it was Vegas, but I've checked back through the oldest residents that are here, and what I could find is there has been a few people that always realized the value of the food scraps.
Mm-hmm.
And they've always been a pig farm around. It moved around as the town grew.
Right, so there's always been a pig farm in Vegas then.
Yeah, I believe there has been, you know, as far back as I can check, when there was a restaurant or two that threw away a can of food of a day or whatever it was.
And there you go. So, Robert, when you first moved to Vegas, how did you select a place to locate your pig farm? Because it would seem to me that nobody would want to have you around. No offense, take meant, of course.
Yeah, you get treated like a stepchild sometimes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we weren't too popular. So, naturally, we picked a place that was in existence that had nobody around them. Out far enough out of town, it's about, about eight miles out from the Strip.
Sure, so
downtown.
About up in North Las Vegas, and about 8 miles from the Strip.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not country anymore, is it?
Not anymore. I wanted to write a book about the attraction of by city dwellers to pig farms. Because all of a sudden they came around. And the cleaner, the less odor we produce by improving our sanitation or whatever we took, we would lower the offensive odors, and the people would just move closer.
So the cleaner and cleaner that you made your pig farm, the closer and closer people would move.
Yeah. But I tell you, we got them right around our fence, our perimeter fence.
They're actually building homes that close?
Yeah, they're right up. Right, throw a rock over next door if I had to. Yeah.
Now, how do you get along with the city? Does it take a certain amount of political wheeling and dealing?
When I came to town, which has been 47 years, I believe it is.
47 years.
Yeah, since 63, I came in 63. Yeah, so it's been a long time. I'm pretty kind of poor on math. But anyhow, the administration by the county government here in Las Vegas area was tremendous, and the health department was very helpful to our operation. I give them credit for one of the reasons we're still here.
So they actually extended a hand and said, here, what can we do to help you?
Exactly.
Now, why did they do that? I mean, that's contrary to the experiences of most farmers. You know, most farmers are saying that government does everything in their power to make it impossible for them to grow food, and yet you're the opposite. What's the deal?
Well, the deal, I believe, would have to be explained by saying the resort associations appreciate me because we've pulled the wet scraps or food scraps out. And take that away and reduce their disposal bills, trash hauls.
So you're
and
saving...
So they, in turn, are a large block, have a lot of power.
Oh, yeah.
Political power in the state. And they explain that to the government regulatory officials and nowadays so that they take a good hard look at what we're doing. Excuse me again.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to be. That's been our dream, is always have our farm and most of all the farmers be looked at as a community asset instead of a public nuisance.
And you most certainly are.
Well, so, thank you.
Sorry
to God for that.
The casino owners say, here's a person that's essentially making us a lot of money by taking care of our food scraps.
There you go.
And thousands of tons of food scraps that we would have to pay to have hauled and buried, which would cost us a lot of money. So
yeah, the hotel saves the money by not having to pay it out to the of refuge haulers, but in turn they can operate their hotels at a reduced rate and pass some of the savings along to the customer.
Right. So then when a politician decides that that R.C. Combs needs regulating, they take a very good look at you because you have some very important friends in very high places, right?
That's one way, but yeah, it helps.
So what happens when you go into the casinos? Do they know you?
Yeah, in fact, to show that I'm not just a male showman, I gave my, that time it was my secretary, Terry, I gave her a plate on her little company car, and it said Pig Pig was on her custom plate. So everybody knew Janet as the lady from the pig farm. And so they all know her better than me because she would return the inadvertently disposed of silverware. In other words, the hotel, some of the help would inadvertently throw it into the scraps, into the trash. And we would in return, she would return the knives and forks back to the hotel.
Wow. That's pretty intimate relationship when it gets right down to it.
She came up with our division called Waste Management, and she came up with the idea of having our people at the hotel's docks and taking out the returnable items such as silverware, napkins, and et cetera, you understand, and recycling. So we reduced the bill quite a bit to the establishments.
So you're actually almost like working for the all of these establishments then. It's almost like you're very much their partner.
Yeah, they appreciate us.
Well, folks, we're talking about what to do with our leftovers. What do you do with your leftovers from the breakfast and lunch and dinner tables? Do you throw them into the garbage and with your hand pinching your nose and going, yuck, get out of here? Well, Las Vegas, that has tons and tons and tons and tons of food waste, does not do that. They package it all up and send it to RC Farms, where Bob Combs and his crew recycles those food wastes into pink porkers. And they recycle the waste from the pink porkers into orchards. And everything has its place, and everybody makes lots of money because of that recycling. So should we be doing the same? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back to Vegas and Bob Combs. Do stay tuned. This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. This little piggy went to Vegas for a taste of filet mignon. Not bad, huh, Robert C. Combs, the recycling guru from RC Farms in Las Vegas, Nevada. Robert takes the food waste from all the casinos in Las Vegas and recycles those waste through his pigs, his hogs, and thus making protein, valuable protein, out of what would otherwise be thrown into the trash. And then, of course, the waste from those pigs is recycled as well. So instead of making garbage out of everything, everything is made back into something, which is, you know, I had the experience, Robert, of going down to the Amazon once in the headwaters of the Amazon. It's this incredible environment in which nothing dies for very long. You know, a tree will fall over in the forest, and almost immediately everything, all of the organisms start predating upon it and disassembling it and taking its nutrients, and those nutrients go right back into the forest. It's just, and I guess that's what you're doing, isn't it?
I believe so, yes. Yeah, that's very true. In fact, that's I feel strongly that way, that that the good Lord's made everything recyclable. But we kind of get into the man gets into it and does some things that are very difficult, almost impossible, or possibly impossible to recycle. Our earth is so like it is, we can recycle. It should be recycling everything. The good Lord does that.
Well, let's talk about how you recycle casino scraps. First of all, of course, you have to have an arrangement with the casino people because you can't just show up at their back door and ask for their food. So what kind of arrangement do you make with the casino owners?
The arrangement we make with, we have, as I mentioned, we have the waste management division, which works directly with the hotel people. And go in there, and we show they're aware of the amount of waste going out the back and what they're paying for it. And we show them ways that we can cut that cost and keep their docks cleaner. We do janitorial service while we're in the process of separating the refuse that comes to the back dock. So our people take control of the refuge that is brought to the recycling area and do the separation there.
So do you take all the scraps to your place and then separate everything then?
The ones that we have the contract with waste management contract, yes. We pick up everything. We can service it. We do the complete service, including cooking oils and all plastics and aluminum and cardboard.
Wow.
Papers, any item that is economically recyclable, we do that and we take care of it. We market it and pass, in some cases, along savings or income from that to the hotel. And either way, it is a reduction of cost to the hotel because
sure.
we're not at the paper landfill.
You're not only recycling food waste, and you're recycling just about everything that comes out the back end of the hotels, the casinos.
That is control. Yeah, we're running in the neighborhood of 20 tons of cardboard a
wow.
day.
20 tons of cardboard a day?
Yes.
Whoa. So that's quite an operation, then. That's a huge operation, then.
It keeps my wife busy. It's her idea, so. No.
Your idea, Janet, so you get to work, huh? That's pretty good.
She's wonderful.
Yeah. So in preparing the food for the pigs, what do you mm-hmm. have to do? I mean, you can't just take the food scraps right out of the back of the casinos and feed it to the pigs, can you?
No, we do not. You know, that'd be in violation of the state agriculture regulation or laws. All the food scraps, and I'm using the word food scraps, and I've noticed you've said, which we've helped bring about the word food waste. And then I had a PR person says, drop the word waste out of there, just call it food scraps.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agreed with the person, and so we use the word food scraps because it's really not a waste. It's
sure.
an asset. So,
you know what, I was in thinking about this, I found a word I like even better than scraps. I like leftovers.
And food leftovers, okay.
Yeah, and leftovers are simply the food that is left over.
Absolutely.
You know?
You bet. Just like what you have in your refrigerator that you didn't eat last night. You bet.
Yeah, so instead of scraps, we'll call them leftovers.
Okay.
All right.
Food leftovers.
And then, so what do you have to do to the food leftovers so the pigs...
Okay. Now, that food leftovers that contain food, flesh, livestock, other parts from either poultry or swine or beef, any meat, flesh in food scraps or food waste must be brought to a high temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Of at least 180 upwards of a boil. Boil the food. This kills all pathogens.
So you have to cook the food.
Yes, you have to cook it. And so you get a refry there, and then you feed that when it cools to the swine.
Mm-hmm. Now, how on earth do you cook all that leftovers?
Well, we have we got about, I guess it holds 10 tons, and we have a center shaft agitator inside that spins and stirs it, and then in the bottom we have live steam injected up through it.
Uh-huh.
And this brings it up to an even boil.
So where did you get this machine?
Oh, that I've learned that from driving or visiting another farm, one of the old farms in St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
and I saw he had a system like that, and so I employed that.
Uh-huh.
I picked the other person's brain on that one.
Okay, good. So you have to cook all the food?
Only those that have the flesh of
uh-huh.
Other animals, you understand? That would possibly, if it was pork, an infected pork piece that wasn't cooked properly, then the animal, the hog that you're feeding it to, is liable to come down with the same
right.
disease.
So you have to kill all the
and
pathogens.
That there is a federal regulation.
Okay, good. And when you're isolated like that, as you are, you're the only pig farm for as far as the eye can see, as I guess you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Who is there to watch over you? Is there a Nevada inspection or something like that to watch over you and make sure that you
yeah,
do everything?
The state has a ordinance or law, state law, and it requires this cooking temperature to be reached.
Okay.
And So they have inspectors that come by unannounced at their time, chosen time, and take a temperature thermometer and catch it and see what temperature. We're going to hold this temperature for 30 minutes. And when I said it was a federal law, I believe I might be corrected because all states that, I believe this is a federal law, but anyway, you can look that up on the internet. But,
sure.
And they have to be up to temperature to kill the pathogens and render it sterile.
It all has to be cooked. Folks, you're tuned in to
that has flesh.
It has flesh.
In other words, if it's all vegetable, you do not have to boil it.
Okay. Well, when we get back, we'll pick that one up. I want to talk about if you separate the vegetable scraps from the meat scraps and all that stuff. Folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about recycling our leftover foods, and we all have leftovers, don't we? What do you do with yours? Do you throw it out into the garbage? Not in Vegas. Right back with RC Farms, the pig people of Vegas. Welcome back. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson. Today we're talking with Robert Combs, the purveyor of RC Farms in Las Vegas, Nevada. Robert takes the food leftovers from the casinos of Las Vegas, recycles those leftovers through his pigs and hogs, and turns them into yummy protein. And of course, when it gets right down to pork, it is the animal that we rely on most for food throughout the world, right, Robert?
I used to believe it was that was correct, but I was told by a person smarter than, more educated than I, and he mentioned that goats were more widely consumed.
Goats, yeah.
Goats.
Pigs and goats, one of the two there. So
I thought it was pigs. I thought every Chinaman had a pig, so that automatically made it the most popular. Anyway, Mike, I want to say thank you. Gratitude I want to express while I got a moment here to all your listeners. And I appreciate what you've done and giving me the opportunity to speak on this. And I think the most important thing I can tell the public is employ the use and act for the word gratitude. And with the gratitude, You can do all these things.
If you're grateful, you can do anything.
That's right. If you give respect to what has been paid for you to be where you're at.
Yeah, amen to that.
Thank you.
Let me ask you about your pigs. I guess this is I've been waiting for this part of
now
the show.
Now you're getting personal.
Yeah, now we're getting personal. Well, let me ask you this. How personal do you get with your pigs?
How what?
How personal do you get with your pigs?
Oh, how personal
do you love your pigs?
With our pig?
Yeah.
Well, this one pig I remember was LC because the school my children went to is Lois Craig. So I nicknamed the pig LC, and we would take it to all the gatherings at school. And at the beginning of the class, it only weighed 50 pounds or so. And by the time the school year was over, I brought her to that convention or gathering, and she was a well up into 200 pounds and better. So it gives the children a real idea of the rapid growth and what we could do with the food scraps.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been known to have play some tricks with your pigs too. You took a bunch of pigs to an event and just turned them loose. What was that event?
Well, now to make that clear, I was told to turn them loose inside the hotel when it opened, the grand opening, and all the press and media was there, and so the showroom wasn't really crowded, and I had six pigs brought in. The guy was from down south, I think the Arkansas Razorbacks had won the national title that uh-huh. year or something, and so when he asked me to bring the pigs down, when I got there with him, he said, just turn them loose. And I wanted to know where to put them. And he said, just turn them loose in the showroom, dining floor. And I could tell where the pigs were because the chairs, there were so many empty chairs. When the big pig would walk underneath the chair would tip back, you see.
Uh-huh.
And that was the ultimate of low cost of transportation of food scraps because the reporter could take his roll that he hadn't eaten all of it or whatever and feed directly to the pig standing under the table.
Uh-huh. Go right to the recycling bin without passing go.
Yeah.
Well, you've had, you know, in the course of your experience in raising pigs, you've had some major disasters too, haven't you? It hasn't all been smooth sailing.
We learned firsthand the importance of the disease control, because we lost our entire herd back in 70, I believe it was.
In 70.
69 or 70, yeah.
How many hogs?
At that time, it was about 5,000.
Whoa, you lost 5,000 hogs?
Yeah.
How many do you have today?
Right now, we howl around 3,000 to 3,000. 2,500 to 3,000 now. But if we were back up to our old capacity of 6,000 before, but now we got bigger hotels, so there's more food scraps here than we can consume.
A never-ending supply.
Amen.
Uh-huh. So
that's my cornfield down there, the strip in the Las Vegas municipal area.
Uh-huh.
That's my cornfield when I look at those lights.
Yes. Instead of feeding them corn and grain, you feed them meat scraps. And, of course, that's really what the essential place a pig played in the life of most farms, is that pigs consumed, they're omnivores, they're like us, so they can eat anything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they could always eat what was left over. So on the farm that I grew up on, nothing went to waste, you know.
Amen. Yeah. Yes, the older farms used to be a real complete recycling facility.
Exactly. And we've lost that art, and it's gone away,
right.
Except in Las Vegas, of all the places. So you love your pigs, but you eat them too, right?
Yes, that's what the British man said, and I thought it was very apropos, very appropriate. He said, I love my pigs, but I love to eat them.
And
I figure it's this way, Mike. I figure the good Lord wants you to use the animal, but that does not mean abuse the animal.
Right. And you don't abuse your animals either, do you? You don't give them antibiotics unless they absolutely need it, unlike most animal feedlots that feed their animals antibiotics. Isn't that right?
That is correct. We individually, if a pig has a bad foot or an infection in his foot, he gets the only penicillin shot.
Mm-hmm.
We do not feed hormones or anything else like that. These animals, all my cattle and everything, they eat the leftovers or portions that was not utilized by man.
Okay, we have to take
it. Good enough for man, it's good enough for the animal.
Okay, right back for the conclusion. Do stay tuned. Well, here we are, folks. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We have a few minutes left and so much turf to cover with Bob Combs. He of RC Farms in Las Vegas, Nevada, the premier recycler of probably some of the world's best food leftovers into some of the most... Now, how are your pigs after eating all the filet mignon of foods, Bob? They must be... Are they happy eating that food? Oops, got to press the button here. Go ahead.
Yes, they are very happy eating all the leftover scraps.
Uh-huh. So what is the leftover smell like when you're done cooking them? I mean...
Well, that depends what convention, if the Italians were in town. Now, they like dessert, too. When we get the centennial celebration of Las Vegas, Nevada, when it was 100-year-old community here. And they've did the world's largest cake, which is probably about 4 feet, 3 feet, 3 feet high, and the size of a tennis court.
Uh-huh. 3 feet
and,
high. That's,
and
oh,
the pigs
my God.
Got to eat, what was it, 5 roll-off boxes. People know what that means, a large truckload of ice cream, or not ice cream, but of icing and cake, you know, they brought the, because the humans couldn't eat it all.
Uh-huh.
So we got the leftovers, and it was 5 truckloads of cake, and I had more photographers out that day than any other time. They were all getting pictures of the pigs laying on that cake and frosting all over them.
And so you didn't have to eat, you didn't have to cook it because it was vegetable in nature. So
that's
true because
there was no flesh.
So the pigs got to eat cake fresh off the tables of the casinos in Las Vegas, and they were plenty happy, I bet.
You bet. They eat well.
Bob, let me ask you this. We have just a moment left, but you know, we city people have really lost out on the importance of recycling. As you say, we like our convenience, and so we just take our leftovers and we throw them in the trash without thinking. What do you think about the habit? Should we somehow find our way back to the notion of recycling? Do you see that as an important thing?
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's my main mission in life, I feel, is to preach conservation, and then which particular portion of it would be the food. I feel so important about the food is a big overlooked by most things. So, yes, they should think about conserving it, and like you've heard some of your advertisements, how they can compost it and make gardens, just as small as a windowsill garden or upon the roof garden, some way, or a community garden, and do your recycling. There's worlds of ways they can be more informed than I am, such as Rutgers University. They've been a forerunner on the utilization of food scraps, food waste.
So
check those out. Do what you can. Every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps, and from a man who does a whole bunch of it. That would be Bob Combs and Janet down there in Las Vegas, Nevada, RC Farms. Folks, if you get a chance, just Google RC Farms, and these are two very fun people in doing God's work. Thank you, Bob, for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir.
And thank you all out there for tuning in The Food Chain. Join us on the forums page at metrofarm.com. What do you think we should do with our leftovers? Thank you all.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.